Let me just say, welcome to Bethel, man. It's always fun to come hang out with you guys and you gals. And so here at Bethel, we're in our second week. We're in our second week of our new series that we're going through. And our series is entitled Moments. Everybody say Moments. It's these moments in time. It's this minute in time. As we read the scripture, you'll see that God, that people have these moments with God. Moses had this moment with the burning bush. Peter had this moment when he walked on water. And how God intends for us to have moments with him where we just go, wow. And we're just taken back by God's greatness. We're taken back by his goodness. How many of you know I love church and I'm a church guy and I'm glad you're at church. But if you're going to have a good, healthy, vibrant, passionate, life-giving relationship with God, it has to go beyond the hour that you spend at church. Can I hear a good amen? I believe when you come to church, you should experience worship. When you come to church, you should hear the word of God. You should have an opportunity to pray to a mountain-moving God. But throughout the rest of your week, if your relationship is going to stay good, you have to have these moments where you experience and you hear from this good, good God who loves you. It goes the same way with our marriage. I know you got married. I know you had the wedding and the white dress and the bouquet and your groom was standing there. I know. And for us men, the moment was the honeymoon. Can I hear a good amen? I know you have those moments with your spouse, but if you don't have some dates with your spouse and you don't continue to fall in love with your spouse, sooner or later, your marriage will be bland and dull and love will be drifting away. It's the same with your children. I know when they were born, you were like, wow, I'm a dad. Wow, I'm a mom. But I'm telling you, if you want to have a good, healthy relationship with your kids, you got to have moments. Are you picking up what I'm putting down today? You got to have moments with the Lord. And my prayer has been for you this last week as we opened up and talked about moments. My prayer has been this week that moments would be on your mind. Moments that you would spend time with God, that you would spend time with your family and your people. And I'll just tell you right quick, me and Clara, we had some moments this week. And I'm not telling you this because I'm good. I'm telling you this because that's how easy it is. Friday night, we found out that Jake Hooker and the Outsiders, the greatest Western swing band ever, was playing in Coleman, Texas. Jennifer's sister had come into town. Jennifer and I couldn't go dance, and so I said, you know what? I'm going to go on Airbnb, and if I can find me a motel room or a little place to stay, me and my little 12-year-old daughter are going to go on an overnight daddy-daughter date, and we're going to go eat at the pizzeria at Coleman, and we're going to go dance all night to San Antonio Rose and Sugar Moon. And you know what? I said, Lord, if Airbnb is open, I know it's a sign for us to go. And we got a room, and we went and danced, and we had a great time. And I was telling Cole about it, and Cole's like, you know what, dude? He said, when she gets to be about 30 years old and she's married and got her kids, she'll always look back and remember that her time that her daddy took her on an overnight day. That's a good job of creating a moment. So easy for us to create moments if we think about it, if we take the initiative to have these moments. Can I tell you right quick what we did when we got home? When we got home, we made chicken and dumplings and homemade peach cobbler. And I taught her how to make the crust, and I taught her how to do it. It was just a weekend of these moments. And so I just want to challenge you, man. I want to challenge you, mom, and just be thinking about doing something to create this moments. We're going to look to the scripture today. Connor already shared it with you. We're going to look and see how we can have moments with God and with people in nature. In what God created for you and I. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to read a lot of scripture today. Way more scripture than I ever read, but I think it is so important and is so vital that everyone that wants to follow Jesus knows that God is a God of creation. Because part of the world wants to say, oh, God didn't create, and oh, it's the Big Bang Theory, and oh, it's the evolution. But we need to know from the beginning of time what God created for you and I to enjoy. And I think we've really missed it a lot in our life. I want us to see how cool God is. So let's pray, and then we're going to start reading in Genesis chapter 1 today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We thank you for creation. Thank you for moments. Lord, I pray today as we study creation and we look at everything that you did from the beginning of time, I pray that it would bring us back to a place where we would be in awe of you and in awe of everything you created. Speak to us in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. As God looked down from his throne, he saw that the earth was formless and void, and there was darkness, and there was no separation of the dry ground and the sea. Nothing was growing. It was a big ball and a big mass. And the first thing God said was, let there be light. Can I tell you something? Before anything can be fixed in your life, before anything can be fixed in my life, the glorious gospel light of God has to shine down, because when the light shines, it reveals what is messed up. And can I tell you, that's why some folk don't want to come to a good Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. Because beyond the worship and beyond the preacher and beyond the experience, when people gather in the name of the Lord, the light of God shines down, and some of us know what's going on and we know our shortcomings, and we don't want to bring them into the light. We'd rather just play a game and continue to live the way that we've always lived. My prayer is that you and I would have enough courage to walk in to the glorious gospel light of Jesus Christ and let God shine down his light and reveal to us our flaws and our shortcomings, because the moment that they're revealed to us, we'll be motivated to overcome them. God said, let there be light. Nothing can be fixed. Verse number 4, nothing can be fixed without light. Verse 4, God saw the light, and the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Look at me. Look. I want to tell you something today. Light is good, and light must be separated from darkness. We live in a world, can I preach the truth to y'all today, where we want to blend the darkness and we want to blend the light together. We want to live in this gray area where we can continue to do some things in the darkness that our flesh enjoys and that we want to do, but we also want to live over here in the light, because the light feels good and it warms us up, and therefore we choose to live in the middle of this gray area. And from the beginning of time, God said there has to be a separation. There is no gray area. There is only light and there is only darkness. And some of you need to know that today, because can I tell you something? Nothing good happens in darkness. Come on, somebody. Nothing good happens in darkness. And when we step into the light, everything becomes positive and everything becomes good. And I just want to challenge you, for those of you that are living in the gray area right now. Cameraman, I'm coming down off the stage. Because some of you, I'm going to shoot you straight, you're living in a gray area. You living in a gray area, and you know it. And you don't want nobody talking to you. And you can say, don't judge me. And you can't tell me what I'm doing. Yeah, I can look at your life. The Bible says that a tree is known by its fruit. And I can look at you. And the only reason I'm saying it to you is because I love you. And you are not producing any good fruit right now. You are trying to live in the gray area. You're trying to play some kind of game. You're trying to come to church. And you're trying to make everybody think that you're doing everything that you need to be doing. But you know deep down that you're dabbling in the darkness. And I'm going to tell you, dabble in the darkness long enough and it will jump up and bite you in the butt, and darkness will take you down, and darkness will take you further than you ever wanted to go. It's time. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. There is darkness and there is light, and the best thing we can do is run to the light of Jesus Christ. Run to the light. Run to the light. Run to the light. You don't have to say a certain prayer. You don't have to carry a certain kind of Bible. You don't have to go to a certain kind of church. Just run to the light. And the light will drive back the darkness in your life. God said, there's a mess down there. He separated light from darkness. Verse number 5 of Genesis 1. God called the light daytime. He called the darkness nighttime. And there was evening and there was morning, and that was the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the water from the water. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called this expanse heaven. He called this expanse earth. And that was the second day. The third day, God said in verse number 9, let the water under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that he gathered together, he called the sea. And God saw that it was good. I want you to see God's a God of process. How many of you are kind of like me? You're a fly by the seat of your britches kind of person. Come on, somebody. We don't like to plan. We don't like to prepare. What I want you to see here is this, that God is a God of planning. God is a God of preparation. God is a God of forethought. The ultimate goal and the end we're going to learn in a minute is that God would create you and me, man and woman, in his own image. But before he created man and woman, he had to go through a process. And the process was this: I got to shine the light, because nothing can grow without light. And then he said, I got to separate the dry ground from the water, because if I'm going to create some grass, the grass has to have dry ground to grow. And he said, if I'm going to create some animals, some cows and some deer, I have to create the grass first, because the grass is what's going to sustain the cattle and the deer. And he said, I got to put some cattle on there, because every red-blooded man and woman is going to want to eat a good T-bone one of these days. Come on, somebody. God planned it all out. And he set everything up so that when Adam and Eve were born, they could live successful lives. He created an atmosphere where man and woman could thrive. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. God wants to create an atmosphere in your life where you can thrive, be full of joy. He wants to create an atmosphere where your marriage can thrive. God wants to create that. He is creating that for you and I. You and I just have to live lives that take us to that atmosphere. God created, what's verse number 11? Genesis 1:11. God has separated the dry ground from the land, created the heavens and the earth. And verse 11, God said, let there sprout forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds, fruit, trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which there is their seed according to their own kind. And God said it was good. And that was the third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the heavens to separate day from night. Let them be for a sign and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse in heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, which is the sunshine. And the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night along with the stars. And God set them and he hung them in the expanse of heavens to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from darkness. And God saw and said it was good. And that was the fourth day. The fifth day, verse number 20, God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the heavens across the expanse. So God created great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the water swarms according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God said it was good. And he said, y'all be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters, fill the seas, fill the air with birds in the evening and the morning. And it was the fifth day. Now, day one, light shines. Day two, day three, day four, day five, now day six. This is God's greatest, most grandeur moment. His masterpiece, his greatest possession. In verse 26, God said, now that I got it all set up, now that I got everything prepared, let's create man in our own image and in our own likeness. And let man have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds in the heavens and the livestock and everything that creeps on the earth. So God created man. In the image of God, he created male and female. God blessed them. said to the male and female, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, the birds of the heavens, and every living thing. Verse 31, and God saw that it was good. Everything that he had made, he said, behold, it is very good. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. God created man and woman, and he said, it's good. Look at me. Can I tell you something? God created you. You're not an accident. No matter what nobody says, no matter what happened, how your conception came about, if you're alive, God has his hands on you and God created you. And you know what? You may be like me. You may be a little messed up and you may be a little flawed, but when God looks at you, you know what God says? You very good, Emily. You very good, Kelly. You, even you, very good, Naomi. Said you are good. Looked at you, Butch, you bald-headed, sexy sucker. You are very good. God looks at us and says, you're very good. You need to know that today. So God set it all up. He created all this stuff. And let me read you one more story, because he creates Adam first. It's scripture. It's biblical. Now I want us to read Genesis 2, and then this will be my last scripture, Genesis 2, 18. Then the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. And all the wives said, because you think we need help, don't you? Come on, somebody. Jennifer tells me all the time. The Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper for him. Now, out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to Adam and let Adam name them. And whatever Adam called them, that was their name. The man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the heavens and every beast. But Adam, he didn't find a helper fit for him. So watch this. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs, closed up the place where it was in the flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife. They shall be one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. I love this story. God creates for 6 days. And on the sixth day, he takes Adam. Now, this is some Pentecostal stuff. If you're Baptist or Church of Christ, I'm fixing to take you to Pentecost right here, y'all. Because the Bible says a deep sleep came on Adam. God just touched Adam on the forehead. Kawhack, down he went like that. And then the Bible says that God walked up to Adam and stuck his hand in Adam's body. Crack. Broke off a rib. Broke off. That's homeschool, y'all. Broke off a rib. Pulled it out. Shoo. Heal the thing back up, laid this bone down. While Adam is in a deep sleep, God forms a woman out of it, breathes the breath of life into them, and they both wake up. And here is where the covenant of marriage was started, because God knew what he was doing when he created one male and one female to come together in the covenant of marriage, and they should leave their mom and dad, and they shall be one flesh. God set it up in the beginning where one man and one woman could come together and reproduce and have babies. That is the covenant of marriage. And I don't care what your government teaches you, and I don't care what your school system teaches you, we got to go back to the Word of God and say that is the kind of marriage relationship my God will pour his blessings out upon. Imagine this. Imagine with me. I read you all that scripture. Imagine Adam, deep sleep, laid out on the ground. No helper, no woman, wakes up from his deep sleep. And he looks over there, and there's Eve. You know why she's called woman? They're both naked, you know, just telling you like it is. When Adam wakes up, he wakes up and he goes, whoa, man. And Eve wakes up. And in that moment, they both look at each other.
And in that very moment, God's masterpiece, one man and one woman, they are both created to totally enjoy every part of each other. They are getting along. They are not arguing. They do not have bills to pay. They do not worry about the decorations in their home. They are living at the very base level in the nature and the world that God has created them. They wake up, love, desire, and companionship hit them at that moment. As they wake up out of their deep sleep, they see one another, and then they look across the pasture at this creation that God has created for them. Tall, lush, coastal grass, thick as hair on a dog's back with no grass spurs. Come on, somebody. And the occasional bluebonnet and the occasional wildflower and the rose sticking up. They see the beauty of one another. They see the beauty of creation. They look and there's these huge live oak trees. There's cottonwood trees putting off the cotton. There's blue spruce trees over there. As they look to the pasture, a covey of blue quail come running across. A big bull elk is bugling at the bottom of the mountain. A big bald eagle comes swooping down. He looks and she looks and they see some cattle over there grazing and some horses. And Adam says, I think I can train that horse to someday ride him so I can rope that cow over there. They see, they rise up, they see these things. There's this huge body of water that God has created. It is swarming with all kinds of fish, and a swordfish jumps up and fins in the air. And on the other side, a largemouth bass hits the top of the water. As they look across the waters, on the backside of the waters, there are these huge 14er mountains with snow caps on top of them. They're sitting there, this big ball of gas, this light that is ruling the day, is warming their body and putting off light as they sit there together and enjoy the grandeur of God. Hey, I love the Bible and I love preaching and I love church, but you put me out in the middle of the pasture to see what God has created. No one can deny the power of Almighty God. Adam and Eve are sitting there. They're in love with one another. And as the day goes by, this big, huge ball begins to set, go down in the western sky. And as that ball of fire goes down in the western sky, all of a sudden, the blue skies turn to pink and to orange and to blue and to streaks and to puffy clouds and this great masterpiece of a sunset that God painted and drew on the tapestry of the sky. Adam and Eve get to enjoy that. Maybe they eat a meal together. They built him a fire and they fall asleep, enjoying everything that God had given them, enjoying one another. They go to sleep only a few hours later to know that in this eastern sky, that same ball of fire that went down with passion over there is coming up with the same intensity, and the sky is changing colors. Everything is changing. It's coming back up. They are enjoying everything that God had given unto them. Once again, can you imagine waking up and seeing what Adam and Eve saw on day number 7? How can you deny, as you look at our world, that it wasn't some intelligent design, that only the hand of God could do what you and I enjoy? Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. If you don't take another note or remember another sermon or scripture today, remember this one. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. God's eternal power, God's divine nation, the divine nature has been clearly seen from the beginning of time and the beginning of creation. I guarantee you, talking about moments, I guarantee you Adam and Eve had a moment that day when they woke up. Wow. A moment. Back to the basics of life. Willie Nelson sang about, baby, it's time we got back to the basics of love. Pastor Cody's talking to you, baby, it's about time we got back to the basics of life. Enjoying what God
has given us. I'll close with a few thoughts. And I would challenge you, don't miss God and don't miss moments in nature that God has set up for you and I. I have so many times of memories. I have so many moments in nature with God and with my family and with my friends. I'm going to commit. I'm asking you to commit to more of these moments. I'm going to ask you, some of you, to do something that's really, really hard for you. I'm going to challenge you to wake up early this week. I'm going to challenge you to wake up early and just watch that sun come up. Make it an opportunity where you go, I'm not going to miss this. God's painting this for me. Look at it. Do it with your family. Do it with your friends. Stay up a little bit later. Watch the sun go down. Stay up a little bit later after the sun goes down and look at the stars. How long has it been since you just went out in a dark night and looked up at the stars, how they're just hanging, how they're in a perfect place, and maybe recognize the constellation and, oh, that's the North Star and that's the big deal. How long has it been since we did that? I really believe, man, you know I'm a rural guy and you know I'm a country guy. And I love rural stuff and country stuff, and I really believe we're more blessed out here in the country and living in West Texas than anybody else in the world. Can I hear a good amen? Because we get to experience things in nature in a way that the biggest majority of our world never get to experience it. Can I tell you, most people in this world that we've created, in these concrete jungles and these big cities and everything that we've created and all of our technology, most people have never, ever got to watch a real sunset. They've never watched a baby calf being born. Yeah, that's God. They've never watched a colt being born. Yeah, that's the hand of God. They've never raised a doggy calf whose mama died on a bottle and watched that baby come to life and nurture them and care for them. They've never watched a chicken, a baby chick, be hatched out of an egg. They've never ever looked and seen deer or quail running wild. They've never sat by a campfire and they've never gazed at the stars. And if we haven't experienced God at the basic level, and if we haven't experienced God in his creation and in the earth and in the nature, I'm going to tell you, it makes it much easier for some left-wing, liberal, highly educated, overly intellectual professor on the college campuses teach our young sons and daughters that this is not a world of creation, that it's just a Big Bang theory and it's just a bunch of evolution. If we miss experiencing what God has, we'll try to believe the why. There is no way a common sense person can look at true creation and not see the fingerprints of God. The thought processes of God in it all and the fingerprints of God. I'll read you two scriptures and I'm done. Job 12. Job said it this way. Job 12, 7 through 10. Said, just ask the beast of the field, they will teach you. The birds of the heavens, they will tell you. Or the bushes of the earth, they will teach you. And the fish of the sea, they will declare to you. Who among all these does not know the hand of the Lord has done this all? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Isaiah 55, 12. Isaiah 55, 12, for you shall go out in joy, you shall be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Connor, worship team, come help me close. The beginning of time, Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of the book, God created it all, and he created it for you and I to have moments with him, and we miss it. Now, Connor's fixing to look, come up here before he comes up here. Stop, Cornbread, just a minute, please. Sorry. Stop, Darren. I want to say one more thing. How many of you know it is so easy to miss the creation and the things in nature that God has given to you and I to reveal his glory? It's so easy to miss that. Come on, somebody. I'm not anti-phone. I'm not anti-technology. I got a phone. I preach off an iPad. I have a MacBook computer. This is one of the greatest tools ever. Back when I started preaching, if you go, oh, hey, I remember that scripture. What would that scripture say? You had to just flip through the Bible looking for that scripture. Now you say, hey, Siri, help me out. Where's that scripture at? Boom, you find it. I'm not against this, but I'm against this when it takes away from this and takes away from this.
I'm just telling you, everything, your job, some of you are workaholics. Some of you say, you know what, I'm not, that phone doesn't bother me, but you know what distracts you is your work ethic, because you want to work all the time, work, make another dollar, climb the corporate ladder, and you miss everything. I just pray that God would bring us back to a place where our eyes are open and we are aware of the goodness of creation nature. Come on, Conrad. Thanks, buddy. You guys, it's hard to get him stopped. He gets that booty moving forward, boy. It's hard to get it stopped. I'm just saying. Here's the bottom line. God desires for us to have moments in nature. I'm convinced of it. We're going to look through Scripture for the next 17 weeks and see how people had these moments. Biggest majority of them are in nature. I want to challenge you, be intentional this week in creating moments. Be intentional. Think about it. Think about it. Build you a fire. Like my house, I got a back porch, I got a fire. I'll build a fire back here, man, me and my family so many times. Like even Darren has a place in his backyard for fire, y'all. Katie starts it for him, but he has a place for it. Just set a moment. Go by yourself. Take your kids out. Lay on your back, look at the stars. Create moments in nature. Moments in nature with God. Moments in nature with your people. Moments in nature alone. I guarantee you, if you do that, if you're intentional about it, I guarantee you, bring a spark to your spiritual life and to your relationships. You'll be changed and you'll be challenged. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Now, maybe some of you say, oh, Cody, this is silly, but these things right here. You know what I want to ask you to do this week? Because let me know, God can use this and use social media to bring glory to his name. I want to challenge you this week. If you have social media, Bethel Assembly Anson on Facebook, at Bethel Anson on Instagram. I want to ask you, take pictures of your moments in nature this week. Build that fire, snap a shot. Get up with a cup of coffee early in the morning when the sun's rising. Stay up late and eat a meal, whatever that might be, however it might be. Take pictures of it and put hashtag moments and then tag Bethel Assembly in it. That way we can share it, because I really believe if people in your life and people in my life could understand creation and nature in a better way, that they would be drawn closer to God. And if you and I will take time out to do that, and then one of your long-lost friends says, hey, what does that mean? What does hashtag moments mean? Why are you putting a picture of that sunrise? Then you can just simply say to them, it's a moment I had, knowing we're good, how good my God is, and I connected with God, and I connected with others. I believe it will bring glory to God in every area of our life. Allow others to see the greatness of God through our moments in nature. If you would, stand on your feet. We'll close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another worship song. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for life and for loving us. Thank you for creating us, Lord. Thank you for man and woman and relationships, Lord. And just thank you how at the basic level you said, I just want you to enjoy me and my creation and each other. Lord, take us back to that simple old life. Simple old life. Love God, love others, and live life with passion. Lord, open our eyes to see you in our world. To see you in the sky and to see you in creation. And Lord, let us be aware and cognizant of who you are and what you do. Speak to us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's close with worship.